case number six on the agenda, which is 23691.
And I'm going to recuse myself from this case.
Yep.
I'll just sit in the back and watch.
Chief Rosenzweig will not be taking part in the deliberations. Would you identify yourself, sir?
Yes, I'm Detective Dan McCauley with the Granby Police Department.
Wait, would you spell your name?
Yeah, last name is McCauley, M-A-C-A-U-L-A-Y.
And your brief statement?
Yeah, so this is going to be a denial on suitability. This is the second application that he submitted with us. The first one was denied in 2022. During that investigation, we learned that he'd been involved in a physical domestic with a then-live-in girlfriend. She was arrested, he was not. But based on the recency of that that physical assault where he did admit to slapping her, he was denied that one. That was coming up to the board for appeal. So we decided, we were asked if we could just take another look at it, see if we thought now he would be a suitable person for it. So the department asked him to reapply for his permit, which he did. He turned in that application May of 24. Through that investigation, I found that he was intentionally misleading officers as well as myself. Said he'd never been denied a pistol permit in the past, which he had. And then there's evidence that the appellant had continued to harass another woman separate from the previous domestic after that relationship had ended. Just based on that information, you know, we question his character, conduct, judgment, and suitability to carry a firearm, so his permit was denied.
And would you like a very brief statement of your case?
Yes. He said I and they said that I was misleading with my information to the police officers. The police officers came to my house while I just came from work at 11 p.m. the night before, and I fell asleep. They came knocking on the door. I just woke out of bed, and then they were asking me questions. I didn't know the police officer was coming, and they asked me about a woman in a specific town.
This should be a very brief statement at this
point. Yeah. So I was never in trying to deceive any of the officers or give them any wrong information. Well, once they gave me the information, I gave them the information back.
Thank you. Your case, sir.
Okay. So yeah, on June 6th of 22, this is what led to the first denial that I'll explain, because they all kind of work together. The Granby Police Department received a call from a woman claiming she confronted the appellant after she learned that he'd been cheating on her. She was very upset about that. She slapped him. As a reaction to that, he slapped her back. He said he didn't hit her hard, but it was just a simple reaction as he was trying to walk away from her. The woman was arrested that day. He was not. He could have been, but using the state's guidance on dominant aggressor, we chose not to make an arrest on him because she was the first assaulting party there. That permit was denied very shortly after that, just because of the recency of the physical domestic violence that had occurred in the house. Like I said, about a year later, he was coming up to the board for a revocation or denial hearing. So the department asked us to reach out to him and start over to see if he may have been a suitable person now at that time. So the first thing was, like I described on the permit certificate, it asks, have you had a firearms permit application or eligibility certificate of any kind from any jurisdiction in the United States denied, suspended, or revoked? The appellant checked the box marked no, even though our department had provided him with a clear denial letter dated April 25th of 23, and we returned the application to him as well as his permit fee, so his check that he gave to us when we actually took the permit. We gave that back to him saying, we can't issue your permit, so we don't keep your money. Here you go, you get to go ahead and keep that. So he wasn't truthful about that denial on the notarized form. You know, when you turn in those applications, you have to have it notarized saying everything within this is actually true. Then as my investigation continued, I located a report from April 29th of 24, and it was assist for the state police. State Trooper Ingalls from Troop F requested we respond and talked to the appellant in trespassing from an ex-girlfriend's residence in Durham. Details of the complaint against the appellant were that he was continuing to contact his ex-girlfriend, even though they had broken up and she no longer wanted to have any contact with him. The woman explained she'd been previously engaged to the appellant, but the relationship had ended about 8 months prior, and since then he'd sent her some messages and has actually seen in the area of her house a few times, concerning her, obviously. So officers from Granby went to his house and spoke to the appellant. He denied knowing the address in Durham that they were talking about and acted confused. He said the appellant worked all over the place and was sometimes driving and could have been in that area, but he wasn't totally sure if he had been or not. The appellant was asked if he had an ex or not in the area, and he said he did not. He shook his head no, waved his hand no, and said he hadn't dated anyone in a while. They told him, they said, well, this was actually an ex-fiance of yours that lived there. And he continued acting as if he was confused. So the last person he dated lived in Massachusetts, which was the female from the previous domestic that was arrested. At that point, he said he had never been engaged to anyone and had never broken off a previous engagement. So the officers were confused by this because they thought they were talking to the right person. They took the time to call the trooper back that originally asked them to help. And when they talked to that trooper, they were able to confirm that, yes, this is the guy, she knows that's him, everything was confirmed. At that point, they provided him with a female's name, and it was only then that he finally said, yes, I do know that female. I was engaged to her, and the engagement had been broken off. He said he'd simply forgotten about her and moved on. When he was asked if he'd been to the house in Durham, he said yes. And then at that point, he just wanted to show us his phone and say, look, you can look through my messages. There are no messages to her in my phone here. And then one other little piece of information that becomes relevant later is, he says, you know, I haven't spoken to her or text her in many months. I did just reach out a few days ago, though, when I was texting with her mother, who he also hadn't been in contact with for that long period of time. So I went to the ex-fiance's house and I talked to her about it. She provided a written statement to me and showed me some of the messages that were sent back and forth. And she described the appellant as controlling during the relationship, told her that after marriage, she wouldn't be allowed to see her family for at least 6 months. So at that point, she got a little bit hesitant and decided to delay the wedding. During that delay, she learned the applicant was cheating on her. So once she learned that, she totally stopped communicating with him, said they had no contact after some time, and she thinks that was somewhere around November of 23. She said she never heard from him again until April 21st, when he started texting her from a different phone number. She said she knew it was the appellant based on the conversation, the messages that were similar in format and emoji use, and things said, and then finally, the appellant had resent some photos that she had previously seen in the other text messages. They were now resent from these new phone numbers. So that's how she kind of confirmed that it was still, in fact, him that was communicating with. So I took the time, I went through the messages, and some of them were concerning. In the messages, the appellant repeatedly contacted her when she didn't respond. As he got more frustrated, he said things like, I seen you today and everything came back. I'll come to your house and wait for you to leave if you don't respond. Like, I can't live without you. You better text me back. I know you blocked my other number. And again, she provided all this in a written statement as well as photographic images. So the timing of the messages is relevant because after months of not hearing from the appellant, the woman received these messages on 4/21 and 4/28, leading to her contacting the police on 4/29. In the middle of those messages is when he contacted the woman's mother on 4/24. Okay. Again, after having not spoken to her for months. So that's the one message that he does eventually. He never denied sending that one. So those messages confirm that the most recent breakup is like the one from the physical domestic, in which the first denial occurred. In both cases, the appellant was accused of cheating, leading to the end of a relationship, which ultimately required police involvement for them to finally go their separate ways. I did check the phone numbers that the messages were sent from because he was denying that they were his. They're simple IP text phone numbers that anybody can apply for online. No personal identifying information is required to get those. So it's something that anybody could do on their phone right now in a very, very short amount of time. I interviewed the ex-fiancee's brother, who also provided a statement. He talked about the appellant's controlling behavior and seeing him parked across the street from their house. He was certainly saw the appellant on one occasion, noting that he spent time in the appellant's car, so it was very easy for him to recognize. He said during the most recent occasion, he thought it was the appellant, but he couldn't be sure. He said based on the timing of the car driving past the house, his sister and mother receiving the text messages, including one where the appellant said to his sister that he had just seen her, he believes it was the appellant, and it looked very much like his car. So I interviewed the appellant about it, and he said it was just a misunderstanding. He said it was a traditional religious wedding being set up, and when she ended the relationship, he was looking for answers that she failed to provide. He said he moved on and had completely forgotten about her and acted like it was no big deal and easy to forget about somebody that you've been engaged to and spent multiple days a week at her house. He'd been going to the residence for months, picking him up, going out on dates. Things like that. He denied contacting her and said there was no way that any of those were sent from his phone number. Again, kind of emphasizing that fact that these did come from different phone numbers. So I explained my concern to him that, you know, rather than just being honest about what happened and kind of explaining something that at this point seems kind of low level, you know, it wasn't even something that we were looking at making an arrest on. It was simply like, hey, you know, we showed up at his house and said, she doesn't want to have any more contact with you, like, you got to stop contacting her. And he just decided to completely lie about it rather than be open and honest and truthful about it. So obviously throughout the investigation, he intentionally misled us. I questioned his suitability based on that and in his judgment and his character as well.
Do you have questions you want to ask him?
No questions.
From the board? Just so we're clear, the suitability grounds, is that based upon his not telling the truth to you during the course of your questioning or the controlling behavior, quote unquote, vis-a-vis his ex-fiance?
Or both.
I would say that it's a combination of those things as well as ongoing domestic violence issues that he seems to be part of. Like I mentioned before, each of these incidents have come to very bad outcomes, very bad endings that have required some sort of police involvement before, you know, before they were resolved.
But no arrests?
Correct.
Are there questions from the board? Okay, your case, sir?
We're going to start off from the beginning.
Just one quick question first.
Yes,
what town do you live in right now?
Granby, Kent.
Just want to make sure. Thank you.
So, my first relationship with my relationship with the first case that we discussed was we were engaged for 4 years and she lived with me. Yes, there was something between me and her, and then I did end up cheating because I don't want to go too much into personal. It got physical. She started attacking me. I tried to step away. Yes, I did. I did admit it to him that I did slap her in the back, and then I stepped away, back away. I said, I do not want to engage into any. I'm not a physical person. I don't like to be a physical person. So I stepped away, and then I locked myself inside the room. Suddenly, the cops came in. She told them what happened. I told them what happened. They said, we can't have you guys in the house. I simply said, she's a woman, have her stay in the house. I'm gonna leave my own house because we can't be together, like you guys said. So I left her in my own house and I left. Court called me, they said, do you wanna press any charges? I said, no, I just want this to end peacefully. Everything ended peacefully. Why didn't I stalk her? I lived with her for 4 years, why didn't I stalk her? And then when they reached out to her, when they reached out to the first, she said that I was suitable to carry a pistol. In the report, they said they reached out to her. I gave them their phone number, and they reached out to her, and she said he was okay with carrying the pistol. Then they still denied me. So I appealed. Months and months later, they called me. They said, hey, you're up. You're going to apply for the, you could come in, and then we can reapply for the permit pistol again. I said, okay. I was at work. I came back. I was in a relationship with my family. I don't have a really good luck with finding a woman that I want to settle down with. It's just been my luck, to be honest with you. So I met the girl 6 months. We moved a little too fast because her family were religious, my family were religious. So we kicked around well. Our family liked each other. We liked each other. We decided to proceed. I paid for everything, for the wedding, for everything. She started smoking weed and then ended up losing her job. She stopped responding to me. I stepped away. I tried to reach out to her. It didn't work out. She didn't respond back multiple occasions. Then I lost all interest. I cut the wedding between her. She reached out to me 4 or 5 months later after we ended the relationship. She said, I'm sorry. I said, after what? She didn't provide those text messages to the inspector, but she decided to provide other text messages from our phone number that were trying to make her case believable. Then she claimed that I was stalking her. Ever since our relationship ended, I have not reached out to her or been to her house. To prove that, because her brother claimed that I was coming to their house. If they claimed that I came to their house after the relationship was over, they have cameras that's on the street. And the brother claimed that he came out to the street yelling at me. If he did come out yelling at me, he should have some cameras proof that he was coming out yelling at me, and that was me. And when I told the inspector that I do drive by, I don't mean I drove by their street. Their street goes to New York. I travel a lot for my work. I travel 25 states every single day.
What is it that you do?
I'm marketing. I have my reputation. I'm one of 8 people in my family. I'm not a crazy person that I want to go after. I got engaged 4 times. Why haven't they reached out saying that I was stalking? But the relationship was 6 months. I don't need to be that into the relationship for me to stalk her. And then when the inspectors and the police came to my house, I was distorted. I just fell asleep. I just woke out from my bed. Literally, my father was knocking on the door. Per se, this is my house, but my family does live with me. I'm a family person. My father came knocking on the door. I woke up. He said, 2 cops are waiting for you outside. Came outside. Do you know anybody in Durham? I'm like, just came from New York. What are you talking about? Do you know anybody in Durham? They didn't say the address. They didn't say the name. They didn't say anything. They just said, do you know anybody in Durham? No, I don't know anybody in Durham. So then they provided the name. I said, yes, I do know somebody in Durham. But we're not together. Then he said, oh, and then I gave him my phone number. I said, here's my phone. I had my one phone my whole entire life. I work with that phone. I use that phone. I don't need a reason to get another phone, and I never have. My work provided me with another phone, and I sent it back because I don't use it. I just need one phone number that I use. Then he's like, you texted her from a different number. What was the reason for me to get another number to text her? If I texted her mom with that number, why would I need to text her with the other number? It just didn't make sense to me. And then they claimed that I was there, but why didn't she provide all the evidence? If I was really going down there, they have cameras. If I really was trying to stalk her, that also, she failed to tell the inspector that her and her cousin and her brother, they like to phone, prank phone restaurants from time to time, where they grab the phone, they put an ID number. I don't know any of it. The inspector said you can get a number fake online. I didn't even know you could do that, to be honest with you, because I'm too busy. I work 12, 11 hours a day. I travel every single day. Our relationship ended. Guess what I did? I went straight to New York to finish my work. from New York, I went to Florida. From Florida, I went to Wisconsin. I'm constantly on the airplane flying. I don't have time to be stalking somebody and then just over a relationship. When our relationship ended, 4 or 5 months after that, guess what? I was in another relationship. And I told him, I said, hey, by the time you guys reached out to me, here's my relationship, look. He said, can I go through your phone? I gave him my phone. I said, you can go ahead, go through my phone. You wanna, I said, you have cameras, you have, and then the photo that she provided of my car, that car was already sold when we were in that relationship and I had a different car. So by the time I came to her house talking, it was a whole different car. So why did she send that picture when we were together? She was trying to set me up to something that I wasn't doing. And that's fine. I mean, I agree with it. She had a mental breakdown, and then I'm being accused of it. And then the inspector kept saying, you're lying, you're lying. I'm like, I have no reason to lie. I'm giving you all my phone, my information. I'm telling you to investigate me if you have to, but don't keep telling me that I'm lying when I'm telling you the truth. And then I kept being told, I'm lying, I'm lying, I'm lying. And then he took her side from day one. I came to them, he took her side. You're lying. Then he said, call me 2 weeks later. I called him 2 weeks later. Hey, what's going on? Why don't you tell me the truth? I am telling you the truth. I was being guilty without even, I told him, I said, how many cases have you, how many times there was cases where everybody's telling you that this person is guilty and he's saying that he's not. And it turns out that he's not. And he's like, yeah, there are some cases. And then also when he said that I checked, which is the last thing, when I checked on the application that I was denied, I showed up to the front desk of the police department. I brought in my denial, my first denial letter, and I said, hey, excuse me. It says, were you denied application? I just want to make sure. Do I mark it, yes or no? She said, the inspector will walk you through it whenever you get a chance. I said, okay, so do I mark yes or no for now? She said, just mark it no. So I marked it no. Came into the inspector. We walked through the application. We walked through the application, did we? So he had the application in his hand, and we were walking in the application when we were in the office. We checked all the boxes. There was a couple of things I needed to make corrections on, which I did right there and then. So why didn't he tell me when I had my letter of denial right there, why didn't he tell me that I marked out no? Then he waited 2-3 months later, then I got a letter saying I was denied again because I'm lying on my application. It just didn't make sense to me, this whole process. If you want to deny me, I'm not going to cry over a permit, to be honest with you. It's not going to be a death or a situation if I get it. I just wanted to go shooting with my friends at the shooting range, and that was all to it. I got denied the first time. I thought that it was unfair. I already applied again, and then the whole situation started again. It made me not even want it anymore, but I just felt like I was being treated not fairly, and that was unfair to me. If my ex is going against me, that's fine. And that's all there's to it. And I'm sorry, but I didn't do anything wrong, and I swear I did not stalk her, and I swear I did not go to her house. The moment it ended, our relationship ended, and I moved on. That's
it. Do you have questions for people?
I do, yep. Yeah. You refer to her setting you up and making a case against you to make her side more believe. What case is that? I'm not aware of any case going against you.
No, because you told me when we had a conversation, you said, I told you, here's my phone, here's my information. You could look at the street cameras. You could see that I was going at what times and what days. I told you that. Give me the date and the time that she said I showed up to her house, and I will give you the date and the time and proof from my work that I was not in that area, that I was traveling. You said, okay. Then when I called you again to make sure, you said, why do I need to give you that information? You should already know. And I said, well, what?
So my question was, is there an active case against you that she's...
I'm talking about her trying to put me in a position where,
okay,
to say that I'm doing something wrong where I wasn't. That's what I mean by the case. I don't mean there was an actual case.
As far as I'm aware, there is no investigation going on against him. How many times you say you've been engaged?
4 times.
And did the officers, when they came to your house that day, ask you if you'd ever been engaged?
I don't recall, to be honest with you. It's been a while.
Okay. It was on the body camera video that I sent to the board as well as yourself.
Yep.
You very specifically said you've never been engaged.
Okay.
They asked if you knew anybody in Durham. You said no. You said I was just tired. I don't really remember that. How many times a week were you going to Durham?
One. Before or during?
During your relationship with her.
6 months, about maybe like three times a month.
Three times a month? Three times a week?
Three times a month.
Okay.
I was working a lot, so whenever I got a chance, I try to go. I never been to their house, inside of their house. I've just been in the area.
Where would you pick her up?
In front of her house.
Right in front of her house?
Yep.
Okay. And I just want to make sure you get that right, because you very clearly told me that you were there three times a week.
Correct.
But now you're saying three times a month.
Oh, wait, three. Wait, when did I say three times?
During our initial, did you watch any of the video that I sent you?
No, I do not have a CD.
Okay. So in our initial encounter, you very clearly told me it was three times a week, but now you're saying three times a month? That's a big difference.
Correct. No, it's a big difference. To be honest with you, there was a time where I was there three times a week, but there was a time where I was there only three times a month. We didn't initiate like a specific time. The whole relationship was between 5 to 6 months. I wasn't indicating that I was there every single day of the week, like three times a week, mm-hmm. if that was the question. Mm-hmm. If that was the misunderstanding, I do apologize.
When the officers were there, they said, you know, how did you forget about her, these kinds of things. You said, well, I haven't been in a relationship in a really long time. But then today, and when I interviewed you, you very clearly said that you were in a brand new relationship.
And then if you also send the interview with you, and you remember when I showed you my phone, and I said, hey, here's my girlfriend, and I gave you my phone, and you read the text messages?
You're going to have an opportunity to question me in a minute.
But no, I'm just saying, I'm responding. Correct, you're right. I did say that I was in a relationship in a while.
Okay. All right. That's all that I have for now.
When on April 29th, when the two Granby officers came to your residence, they were pretty specific about, you know, an ex-fiance in Durham. Mm-hmm. They asked you about, mm-hmm. and you were pretty clear that you said you didn't know anybody.
Yeah. Oh.
And I'm just so. I mean, you could. I mean, that's at first it was anybody in Durham, an ex-fiance that I can't. Finding a little bit of a credibility issue in which you're going to say you don't know anybody, especially when you very specifically, they asked very specifically an ex-fiance, and that didn't ring any bells?
To be honest with you, like I said, honestly, I just woke up. I woke up and I put up my clothes on and I walked straight to the door.
Yep.
To answer questions about somebody in Durham.
Yeah, I know. I could see maybe someone in Durham, but when they say ex-fiance, that...
No, they asked me if I knew anybody in Durham, and I just said no.
And then they asked that. Then they reiterated ex-fiance, and they actually had to call the trooper because they were like they sort of believed you.
Correct.
They called the trooper to confirm that they had the right information, it was the right person, and then the trooper confirmed that.
Yep.
And that's when the light bulb went on.
Correct.
But
you can. Sorry, excuse
no,
me.
No, that's
my question.
Why were you texting with your mother around the same time?
It was not around the exact same time.
Well, it was within a couple of days.
Like, yeah, it's just, I was traveling at the time I was in New York.
Yep.
And, I don't know. Honestly, it's just all a coincidence how everything just kind of.
So you were texting with your ex-fiance's mother about the same time that she reported you were texting her?
Correct. So.
And that's just a coincidence.
That was little. I swear to God, that was such a coincidence because I was in New York at the time.
Yeah, a couple of days later, you don't recall knowing anybody in Durham.
I didn't claim that I didn't know. Yes, I did claim that I didn't know anybody in Durham. Yeah. Again, I just woke up. telling me anybody in Durham, and then once they gave me the name, I didn't deny it. I knew that who that person was.
It even could have been the, where does your ex-fiance's mother live?
I don't know. If you tell me exactly where the location is right now.
No, what town does she, what town did she live in at the time when you were texting with her?
The mother?
Yeah.
Durham. But if you asked me at the time, I probably wouldn't. I'm going to be honest with you right now.
Did she live with her parents?
Who?
Your ex-fiance?
Yes.
So it wasn't just the ex-fiancé that lived in Durham, it was her whole family.
Correct.
That a few days later, you were actually texting with the mother.
Correct.
That's all I have.
Other questions?
Getting engaged is kind of a big thing in somebody's life, isn't it? And you should know, you've done it 4 times. So even if you've just woken up, if somebody asks you, were you ever engaged, that's kind of an event, maybe second only to, have you ever been married? And yet you say, because you were sleepy, you didn't answer the question.
No, it was a relationship for 6 months. It was just a relationship
but
for
6 months.
But it's
not, were you ever engaged?
Correct.
No.
Yeah, honestly, like, because the fact that I was so exhausted, and I was working 12, 14 hours literally a day. Mm-hmm. I was so exhausted, I came from back, and then asking me questions straight, coming out of bed, that's like talking to a drunk person that just... Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we have seen the videotape, and it goes on for quite a while.
Correct,
so
yeah.
I can't imagine you were groggy for half an hour.
No, I wasn't. But at the same time, when at the moment they gave me the name, I did apply it. Yes, oh, okay. Then I clicked in my head. I'm like, okay, then...
Well, the only time it clicked is after they confronted you with the fact.
With the name.
Knew,
correct.
And then you said, oh, yeah, I was engaged. But before that, you were denying it.
Correct. Yes, I was denying it before that.
Okay.
I was, honestly, I was just... You that's like waking up from bed and then two officers suddenly coming in front of your house. What did I do? What's going on? I'm distorted. I was distorted. I said, what's going on? And then they're suddenly just asking you questions and you're just sitting down. You're like, then asking your engagement. What? The first thing that came to my engagement is my longest engagement, which is 4 years. That one's the one that I remember the most because I actually was meaningful to me.
Well, if you remembered it the most, and I asked you were you ever engaged, you should have said, yeah, I was engaged.
Oh, yeah, but I did say I was engaged.
Okay.
Did I not say I was engaged to
my friend? I think we've seen the tape.
Okay. I haven't.
Other questions from the board? Procedurally, are we... Closing statement.
I just don't think that it's fair to deny me just because of this incident.
In closing, our department stands by our decision. The appellants continue to diminish the domestic incidents and then be misleading to officers and the board here. He's lying to hide what may have been just a minimal incident, which makes me question what he would do if there was, in fact, some kind of a major incident that occurred, right? So I gave him a lot of opportunities while we spoke to say, like, I understand this could be startling when you get two officers that knock on your door and you don't really know what you want to say. Usually you kind of realize pretty quickly with the facts that are coming out, you know, maybe I should just be honest about this and explain my side of the event. And quite frankly, had he done that, I would change my opinion on his character and suitability. But at this point, he chose to continue to mislead us and just not be truthful, which brings up a lot of questions.
This is a denial by the Granby Police Department. The denial is for suitability. The basis of the denial, there was an incident in June of 2022 between the appellant and his girlfriend. There was a physical altercation in which the girlfriends initiated the altercation, slapped the appellant slapped her back. The appellant's girlfriend was found to be the aggressor in that case. She was arrested, he was not. The appellant was denied a permit based on that. He reapplied in May of 2024 for another permit. Failed to check the box regarding his previous denial. Affirming he had a previous denial, he had checked no. Then while doing the background investigation, there was an incident in April 2024 in which the Granby Police Department are doing a follow-up for True F regarding a trespass slash possible stalking incident that occurred with an ex-fiance. While the Granby police detectives were interviewing the appellant initially denied knowing anybody in the town in which she resided, denied being engaged, denied knowing anybody in that town. The detectives had to contact the investigating trooper to confirm the appellant's information, to make sure they did actually have the right person when confronted with that information and the ex-fiancé's name. At that point, the appellant did change his story. There were some text messages that we received that occurred at around the same time of this incident. The appellant denies making those text messages. Yet the appellant does admit to texting with his ex-fiancé's mother right around these same dates. The appellant has no criminal record. There were no arrests in this incident.
Comments from the board?
I guess what I would say about this is that if you look at all the circumstances here, we have in the state of Connecticut, one of the things that is important to consider is the appellant's character. And character goes into a lot of different things, truthfulness being one of those. Here we have questions concerning, that there was a domestic dispute which involved a minor incident of violence. There is claims of controlling behavior and harassing, and you can even call it stalking, by a second fiancé. Repeated untruthfulness about knowing the fiancé, knowing the family, having been engaged before. So looking at the totality of circumstances, is this the kind of person that has the character that the state of Connecticut would feel comfortable granting a permit to carry firearms? And that's what we're facing now.
Other comments from the board?
Attorney Sinetti summed it up.
Ready for a vote. Mr. Gray.
So I will just say, I want to make sure you understand that what's being presented, nothing was provided for me to dispute what has been provided from the issuing authority. So I'm going to have to go with the issuing authority.
Colonel Overton.
Issuing authority.
Attorney Sinetti.
Issuing authority.
Dr. Conrad.
Issuing authority.
The chair votes issuing authority.